Hi, you're listening to the Origin O Creepy category, where each episode we discuss a new creepy topic that will chill you to the bone. If you would like to learn more about us, keep listening. Links are in the description of where you can find us and how to support us. Thank you, and now here are 17 experiences with murderers and the stories behind them, part 1. This episode contains sensitive and explicit content. Please be advised. Every day we interact with all kinds of different people, and oftentimes we don't know much about them other than how they look. Occasionally, you may come across someone who gives you the creeps, or there may be something off about them, something you can't quite place your finger on. Some people have been unfortunate enough to watch the news or receive word by other means that someone they know has committed a murder or many murders. These experiences are no exception, with some being terrifying, to others being just a normal encounter. Now, an encounter with James Holmes. This first experience comes from someone who was classmates with the Aurora shooter, James Holmes. I knew James Holmes in college. He was 1 year ahead of me, but same major. I remember classes with him. He also did a bit of research in the vivaria, and so did I, but in separate labs. So our paths crossed often. I remember him being super paranoid. I remember filling out health questionnaires and medical clearance forms for a final that required in vivo work and access to the vivarium. He threw a fit in our lab, telling our TA he wasn't going to fill it out. He finally did, but put a disclaimer on the bottom of it. It was bizarre. I think that was around August 9th. I think he was already unraveling them. I remember when I found out about Aurora, I was working when my old college roommate texted me asking if I had heard about the shooting in Colorado, followed shortly by her texting me who did it. My roommate remembered him clearly from a GE class we both took with him. I remember feeling scared for some reason when I put the name to the face. My teeth started chattering wildly. I was shocked. It still freaks me out to this day remembering working in labs and having class discussions with that guy. We were definitely not friends, but I probably saw him nearly every day for at least a couple years. I can still see him working across from me under a fume hood in my mind's eye anytime his name is brought up. Okay, so I'm gonna be entirely honest. This story is a bit of a long one, so we're just gonna try to get through it the best we can. So, James Holmes is known as the Aurora shooter because he shot and killed 12 people and injured 70 others at the Century 16 movie theater in Aurora, Colorado on July 20th, 2012. How did he get here, though? Well, James Holmes was born on December 13, 1987 in San Diego, California. His father was a mathematician and scientist, and his mother was a registered nurse. His parents raised him in Oak Hills near Castroville, California, which is also where he spent his early years in elementary school. When James was 11, though, he had tried to commit suicide after suffering from mental health issues. When James was 12 years old, he, his sister, and parents moved back to San Diego, and this is where James began to decline socially. In this time, he attended Westview High School and graduated in 2006. While in high school, James played football and ran cross country. He had also attended Penasquitos Lutheran Church with his family, and he seemed pretty normal, but behind the curtain, James was unraveling. So when James was young, he was afraid of what he called, quote-unquote, nail ghosts, end quote, which were, quote, ghosts that would bang on the walls at night, end quote. To, quote-unquote, cure this, sorry about this, so many quotes, He was sent to see a social worker before being sent to a psychiatrist where he was diagnosed with depression. After high school, James went on to attend the University of California, Riverside, and earned his bachelor's degree in neuroscience. After that, he decided to move to Aurora and attend the University of Colorado, Denver. In his rental application for his apartment, he stated that he was quiet and easygoing, but in his dating profile, he described himself as an agnostic. Allegedly, during this time, James had been hiring sex workers and left reviews of their services on an online message board. So while attending the University of Colorado, James had only one girlfriend. Their relationship had lasted about 5 months before she broke up with him because she felt distant from him. She said he made others feel uncomfortable and told him to get professional help after James expressed his desire to kill people. They had resumed their relationship for 1 month in 2012. James told his state-appointed psychiatrist that their breakup contributed to his violent depression, and that was in quotes. So leading up to the shooting, James had met with three mental health professionals at the University of Colorado. One had been made aware of his homicidal thoughts and considered putting him on mental health hold, but decided not to, declaring that he most likely had borderline personality disorder and that the commitment of homicide would just set him over the edge. 2 weeks before the shooting, James had texted another graduate student and asked if the student had ever heard of dysphoric mania, and then proceeded to warn the student to stay away because he was, quote, bad news. Dysphoric mania is when an individual has symptoms of depression and mania at the same time, according to WebMD. Anyway, according to the Arapaho County District Attorney, James chose the Century 16 Theater for his attack because it had doors he could lock in order to increase the number of casualties, and it was in a place where it would be longer for police to get there. Leading up to the shooting, on May 22, 2012, James had purchased a Glock 22 pistol. On May 28th, he bought a Remington 870 Express tactical shotgun. On June 7th, he purchased a Smith & Wesson MP15, I don't know how to say that, sport rifle. All three weapons were bought legally and background checks had been performed. James had also bought 3,000 rounds of ammunition for the pistol, 3,000 rounds of ammunition for the MP15, and 350 shells for the shotgun over the internet. On July 2nd, he placed an order for a Black Hawk Urban Assault Vest, two magazine holders, and a knife at an online retailer. He also purchased spike strips. On July 19th, James mailed a notebook to his psychiatrist, which contained his thoughts and his plans for the shooting and the weeks prior. The notebook had been found in an undelivered package in the Anschutz Medical Campus mailroom. Before the shooting took place, James had called a crisis hotline for mental health with hopes that someone would talk him out of committing the massacre at the last minute. However, the call was cut off after 9 seconds. Also, I apologize for all of the dates. It does get a little confusing. So, James had snuck out of an exit door, propped it open, and returned with weapons and other gear, setting off several smoke bombs, and then opened fire on the audience, killing 12 people and injuring 70 more. On July 20th, 2012, police arrested James, who did not resist the arrest. He was found standing next to his car behind the Century 16, only moments after the shooting. Initially, James was jailed at Arapaho Detention Center and was placed under suicide watch and in solitary confinement. His first appearance in court was in Centennial on July 23, 2012. During this trial, he was said to be very dazed and confused. On July 30th, Colorado prosecutors filed formal charges against James that included 24 counts of first-degree murder, 116 counts of attempted murder, possession of explosive devices, and inciting violence. By the end of the prosecution, James had a total of 152 charges. On April 27, 2014, James' trial had officially begun with opening arguments by the prosecution explaining that James intentionally went to the movie theater that evening with the deliberate intent to kill as many people as possible in a mass shooting spree. Starting on April 28th, in the weeks following, prosecution testimony included various survivors of the massacre and enumerated the after effects on the survivors. After almost 3 months of deliberation on July 14th, closing statements were made and jury deliberations began on July 15th and continued into July 16th. And this is in 2014, not 2012, when he committed the shooting. And on December 4th, 2015, James was ordered to pay $995,000 in restitution to the victims. And in September 2015, Holmes was moved to the Colorado State Penitentiary in Canyon City. After being assaulted by another inmate, James was moved to an undisclosed location out of state, which is believed to be the USP Allenwood in Gregg Township, Union County, Pennsylvania. While I was researching this case, I thought James Holmes deserved a whole episode, not because of what he did, but because this story was more complex than I had originally anticipated. I do want to say this tragedy that James caused affected the lives of many that did not deserve the fate they were met with. So I think that everybody that listens to this should tell their loved ones you love them, because you never know what tragedy lies around the corner. And I also want to say that it does seem like my episodes are a bit shorter, so if you have any suggestions, please do let me know. But I just try to give a brief overview of what happened, but if you would like me to go in more detail, just let me know. Thank you for listening to this episode of Origin O Creepy Category. If you would like to learn more about us, keep listening. Also, be sure to leave a review to let us know how we're doing. If you would like to support the show, you can do so on our Spotify for Podcasters page. All links are in the description of this episode. Stay tuned for next episode. 17 people reveal their creepy real-life experiences with murderers, part 2, Ted Bundy. Again, thank you for listening, and as always, stay spooky.